super fit young Australians and Olympic Brazil nuts. It's that time again. Time to down the tools and grab a fistful of golden glory on the Mardi Gras of medals. With those two champions of the podium, rampaging Roy Slaven and HG Nelson. HG.
Yes, thanks very much, Jumpin' Jai, the serenaded guy in the soundproof booth. And, of course, the news has just broken here that Maddie Groves has come in second in the 200 fly for women, just run in the last couple of minutes here at the Murray Rose Pool. Rio, Roy, Slaven, what did you make of the Groves swim?
It's a terrific swim, mate. She went out very hard. I've always been a big fan of Madeline Groves. I love her style. And it's our first silver for the Games. So we've got the complete set now. We've got our golds, obviously. Now we've got a silver and we've got a few bronzes. So good day for Aussies. Aussies can feel proud today, I think, HG, that Groves has done it.
Got the silver. Roy, the atmosphere absolutely electric now here at the Murray Rose Pool, because the 100 metres for men's is just about to get underway. As the runners are introduced, the swimmers are introduced to the vast crowd on hand here. We see the first of the Australians coming out. That's Cameron McAvoy, obviously in lane three. We've got Nathan Adrian in four from the United States. And Kyle Chalmers, are you seeing those big three in the middle there? Splitting the medals here, divvying up the medals.
You'd have to think so, HG, unless you can always get a random variable. Let's face it, it's swimming. You know, anything can happen, given the sort of substances that some of the swimmers are taking. Not in our nation, of course, but other
elsewhere.
Nations that we won't mention. China, Germany, Spain, Japan.
Sweden. Hungary.
You name it.
Tokyo.
Yep. Russia.
Yeah, Russia.
Goes without saying.
Now.
But in the compliant good nations of the world, HG. There's Australia, a hell of a lot of daylight, and one or two other countries.
Who we won't mention because they don't win. Now, Roy, the atmosphere is really building here. I might have said that earlier. And look, we're able to take this call of the 100 metres, obviously with our two great, our golden boys, if I can use that term, I'd be the first to use it here, golden boys, McAvoy and Chalmers going for the gold in the 100 metres for men.
It's a 50-year drought, isn't it, HG?
A 50. Michael Wendon,
Michael Wendon.
It was.
God, he could swim, Michael Wendon.
He got it in Mexico in 1968, a 50-year drought. Don't do the maths because it doesn't add up.
No, I know. Let's call it 50 years, roughly.
Okay. Now, they're almost on the blocks, Roy. What are you thinking in this race? Aussies going out hard early seems to be the go.
Yep.
Seems to be the new way, the new approach to Australian swimming is to go out very hard early.
Well, I think, actually, each swimmer's got to swim his own race. Mm-hmm. That's what I always say to swimmers. Swim your own race. Know where you are in the pool. Know who you are.
Exactly.
Know where your opponents are.
And I think Kyle Chalmers has made that know who you are a thing of his own. He's written it on himself, who he is.
Well, he's got a tat of himself
on himself. Yes, that's right.
That's brilliant.
So as if you have to look down.
So he's always got to know who he is. He's just got to know where he is now.
And before they go, just to be mindful of, we may be able to hear Basil and Gian in the call here because they're right alongside us for this one.
And McAvoy and Chalmers
in the 100 metres fly, one of the great events of the Olympics in any Olympics, Roy. How are we looking so far?
So far, very good start. Very good start, actually, by the Australian, who might be in second place at this stage.
The American Caleb Dressel seems to have taken out in lane two at the top of the picture there. And one of the Australians slightly off the pace, but there's a whole lap to go. I'm not writing both Aussies off yet, are you, Roy?
No, Aussies might be in the fifth position at the moment, HG, but a lot to bring home here.
So Nathan Adrian from the United States sort of looking as though he's got it under control, and I can't work out who the other might be. The Canadian there up very hard.
Yep.
So it looks like Australia three and four at the moment, but they're going to bring it home now. Here's the
chance. Right now. This is the championship. Yards.
This is the metres. They're coming back into it, Australia. Very, very nice.
Come on, Aussies. Aussie first! Aussie first!
Oh, what? Yes, look at that! Aussie's first, Kyle Chalmers, all the way from Port Lincoln in the footsteps of Dean Lucan.
Yep.
The fisherman who used to be able to pick up bloody big fish and then took that skill to the Olympic Games in LA, and now Kyle Chalmers has brought those same big feet here to Rio.
That's brilliant, Aussie. Gold to Australia! Gold!
I know, and just when it looked as though all was lost.
Yeah, I know. So look, I don't want to overshadow what happened a little moment ago with Groves, but Groves got a silver, and now we've got gold. Hey, what a magic 3 minutes.
for Australian Olympic history has been broken now for the first time.
The 50-year drought is over. Even though it's not 50 years, it's 68, Wendon. And imagine how Mike Wendon must feel now. He'd be on the blower. Immediately. He'd be on the blower if I know Mike.
So we got, looks like Kyle Chalmers took first. It was Nathan Adrian second from the United States. Yeah. And Peter Timmers, the surprise packet from Germany, third.
Yeah.
Bronze. Let's have a look at this finish. Take us through it, Roy.
Yeah, well, you can see, you know, it's just drive. It's knowing where you are, knowing who you are, knowing where your opponents are, knowing what you're capable of, digging deep. You've got to think deep. You've got to think deep. You've got to think breathing. I've got to remember to breathe. You know, and that's the thing that often you forget when you're swimming.
It came from a long way back there.
He did.
It's a terrific swim from Kyle Chalmers. Very big
brilliant
finish.
Swim from
but
Chalmers.
But that's the big feat.
Yeah.
Let's not forget he's got the biggest feat here in the Olympics, as proven by Bruce McAvaney, I think, on that show.
That terrific show with McLaughlin.
McLaughlin.
Hamish McLaughlin.
Yeah, they were talking feet last night.
They would have been.
And it was just incredible.
Yeah, I know.
To realise Kyle Chalmers, the biggest
Seven
feat.
Are doing a great job. Great job.
Footwork,
as
incredible.
I said to Gian Rooney and might have been Basil Zempelis. I was talking to them earlier. I said, they're doing a great job here poolside. And what about the bloke whose name we don't know who interviews everyone? He's great.
He's great too. Well, I put that gold down to Basil. He brought it home.
Of course he did.
Higher, faster, longer. That's the secret of golden success on the Mardi Gras of medals. Roy and HG.
Yes, welcome back to the Murray Rose Pool. And now that sanity's restored, we can return to the official schedule of Super Thursday here, day five of competition, usually in the Olympic calendar, simply called Super Thursday. And I did get in the excitement, and what excitement it was. That was an incredible swim from Kyle Chalmers, the big-footed kid from Port Lincoln. And remember, originally he was picked on his high school swim team because his parents owned a pool. And now here he is swimming on the biggest pool in the world at the moment, the Murray Rose Pool here in Rio. And I swapped the place getters around, so excited was I. It was Peter Timmers finished second, and the plucky Nathan Adrian from the United States, who did all the work, all the hard work, was just bloused out at the end, came obviously third. Roy, obviously the pool has been the highlight in the last 20 minutes or so, but what were the rest of the highlights of your day?
Well, it's been a fabulous day, really, here. Arnold Palmer, I managed to bump into Arnold Palmer, HG, and fabulous to see Arnie still waddling about with a club in his hand. He's hailed golf's inclusion to the Olympic stage, and he said to me, and I'm going to quote him here, HG, he said, quote, "The idea of being an Olympic golfer never occurred to me when I was playing." He said that, unquote. And I thought, well, that's probably right, because it's only been recently that golf's been included, but he loved seeing it there.
Just this year.
And the impression I got is that Arnie would have loved...
Oh, he swung a club?
Yeah, he would have loved to have been an Olympic golfer in his day. The plucky New Zealand men's sevens, actually, they've gone down to Japan. So I think the dream is over. And we don't use that word often in this program. That is the word dream. The dream is over.
And New Zealand in the same sense.
The plucky New Zealand, yeah.
I think that's the first time in history you've used the word dream in New Zealand in the same sense.
I know. Fiji's sevens team, HG, have had their mobile phones taken from them by their coach, Ben Ryan, just to keep them focused. Apparently they were spending a little bit too much time taking selfies and things of that nature. So we've drawn a close to that sort of behaviour. Now, there's been a call, HG, a late call for a fourth, fifth and sixth Olympic medal to be awarded. So you'd have gold, silver, bronze, tin, wood and dung. Now, I think this can work. If we looked at the race we just saw, did the Aussie kiddie get dung?
The second Aussie kiddie. Cameron McAvoy.
Yeah, well, he got dung in that...
You can't take that away from him.
You can't.
You know, how'd you go in the Olympics? I got three
at least
dung.
At least I got a dung. At least I got a dung. So, it's not official yet,
no.
But I think that could work.
Yeah.
Borden and Clancy HG, they've topped their pool, of course, in the beach volleyball. They're the new Potthast and Cook, as we keep saying, and they're showing that this is still the case. And the dream team just a little bit too strong for the Boomers earlier today. But can I just congratulate the Boomers? I thought the Boomers really stood up, especially in the first half. They just failed to believe. Once they got their noses in front, it was all too real for them as far as I was concerned.
Uh-huh.
So it's up to the coach to say, boys, you've got the dream. You've got to believe in the dream. What? But I thought Bogart stood up. Bogart was magnificent. Uh-huh. Vella Davola was magnificent. Paddy Mills was magnificent. This is a great team. They've just got to believe in themselves, and I'm going to spend some time with them tomorrow morning.
Now, Roy, that was our fifth gold. Kyle Chalmers, the kid from Port Lincoln with the big feet, etc. I've said it all before.
Yes.
Fifth gold. Now we're fifth on the medal table again.
Are we really?
We're back up there, so that's fantastic. And look... I don't know. It's been a checkered thing, obviously, when Johnny Hendricks and John Devitt and Mike Wendon, you just thought it was ours all the time. And then there was a long, lean period, including swimmers like Clem and Thorpe, who couldn't do this.
That's right.
100 metres. Now it's back ours. It's coming back to the basketball, though.
Yep.
At the end of a physical and often spiteful game, the Boomers US player, Paul George, has accused Australia of playing dirty.
Did he really? Paul George can talk. He's a gutless wimp.
Australia's George. NBA legend Luke Longley, now on the Boomers coaching staff, that's good to know, said in response, tell them that's international basketball.
Well, that's dead right. And if anyone had known, Luke Longley would.
Well, he carried the team, as we said yesterday, drove the bus, did the masseur.
Did everything.
Picked the team, put up the nets.
Sure. The Americans are always going to cry foul, cry dirty when they're being done and dusted. And they were done and dusted in that first two quarters. We just powdered a little bit in the third quarter. But we've got, you know, these are issues we can deal with. At least the Boomers know where they are. They know who their names are. They know where they are on the court. More than I can say for the Americans, who I think are just gutless.
Roy and HG for Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.
And Roy, look, something that's not been mentioned as nearly as I can tell from what I've looked at Australian media this morning... is this very sad story concerning our gold medal prospect, James Willett, in the double trap. He missed a shootout for bronze. Do you get the idea?
I do.
Missed gold, silver, etc. Shootout for bronze.
He didn't get dung in the end, did he?
I don't think he even managed dung. I don't think he scraped into dung. But I'm glad that this has not been mentioned, because I think it keeps alive the dream of the Just Shoot Me television show. He, of course, is the kid who built the $80,000 shooting range at the back of his property at Mullawa.
Yeah.
And let's face it, that's a very strong community of shooters up there, because I think our gold medal winner comes from Mansfield, not a million miles from Mullawa in Victoria.
Do they use the same...
They do use shotguns.
They go over to his place, though, to bang off a few. Range?
I'd say so. It probably rings up Catherine. Catherine, what are you doing on the weekend? Yep. Well, I'd love to come over and bang off a few.
Okay, so he's 20 years old. When did he build this shooting range? He had it for long.
He has. As a 12-year-old, he had what's described here, I think, by Michael Gleeson as an eye like a dead fish.
Wow. Man, is that a good thing as a shooter?
I have never come across this term, an eye like a dead fish. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and so his dad built him a shooting range on the family's farm.
Was that the same shooting range or...?
Difficult to know. It was almost identical to the one the 20-year-old son is shooting on at the outskirts of Rio. They bought it over here as well. On Wednesday, it's a grimly desperate area of Deodoro where owning a gun and knowing how to shoot it is not a sport. Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
Now.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah, there's a bit of social commentary there. Hey, so have you got to put in a DA? Can anyone put in a DA for a shooting range in their backyard? Let's say you're living in the inner city and you've got an eye like a dead fish like this bloke. You know, the whole neighbourhood's behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to put in a DA?
I'm pretty sure you can, as long as it backs on to something like a reserve
or a big brick wall or something.
You know, a next door neighbour who might be having chooks and stuff like that probably won't work.
I suppose the important thing with a shooting range, HG, is you've got to make sure that you're not going to accidentally hit someone like a neighbour. That'd be the main thing.
Well,
that's where the cost would go in.
Well, I think the council, this amalgamation of councils that's going on across Australia, it's a revolution that's sweeping Australia.
Yes, is this going to be easier for people to get their
shooting ranges up? Because they'll have an inspector qualified to do work in that area.
Okay, good.
And say, look, you know, you're only 2 metres here from your next door neighbour's barbecue area. Have you thought about what might happen on a Sunday afternoon? You know, should you come out for a bit of a bang and a few chops are being fried there? What's your hockey health and safety like here?
Sure. Look, I suppose neighbours could lodge an objection if they didn't want it.
And McKeon's...
Can't imagine anyone objecting.
No one objected. It would be un-Australian.
Would be.
Now, Taylor McKeon's just won her semi-final in the breaststroke,
the 200. Isn't that great?
That's excellent. So she moves on to the final.
Okay.
That'll be
great news.
One to watch.
Good.
Roy Willett, this is James Willett, said it was the youngest in the field by a generation.
I'll be buggered.
The nearest one to him was about 45.
45.
But the kid's routinely the youngest in any international field by a generation.
Mm.
So it's a really a chilling.
You've got to remember, Michael Diamond was a kid when he started, wasn't he?
Well, back in 1988.
Yeah.
He was only 12.
12, that's right. Then he didn't have a shooting range.
He didn't. He just shot like... because
He just shot anywhere. Yeah. Because he had two eyes like dead fish, didn't he?
He did. Now, look, the Just Shoot Me has taken the Just Shoot Me, the television show.
Television show, yeah.
With all these parts, obviously.
Who's doing it, 9, 7 or 10? What's the story? Is it Fox?
No, it's coming to free-to-air television.
Oh, good. Yeah,
now, one great thing here is James Magnusson, apart from the fire in the belly about more Olympic stuff.
This is the missile.
The missile. Mm. He's got lots of strings to his bows. He's a passionate property developer.
No way.
He loves to put up, 15 or 20 wherever he can see it. Gets council
approval. What is sort of Harry Triggerboff sort of?
The Harry Triggerboff of the pool.
Is that right?
Now, he said, asked what he was going to do when he gets back to Australia, and he said, what I'm going to try and do is book myself into film and television school to improve my presenting and acting skills.
Good.
Now, this is fantastic news.
Great news.
With regard Just Shoot Me.
Mm.
Can you see the missile, great name, being...
Could he be the host? He and Grant Denyer should it go to Channel 7, I suppose.
Well, let's
say 10.
10.
10.
I think. Well, Denyer could come across.
Yeah, Denyer would come across if Missile was there with a show like Just Shoot Me.
That's it. And so then you might go to cut to an interview with James Willett. You see, obviously, medal winner.
Yeah. Well, with the missile would open him up. Oh, g'day, everyone. I'm here with Willett, with the dead fish guy. How are you shooting them? How are you seeing them? Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Missile.
Thanks, Missile. Back to you, Grant. Oh, okay.
Round one. Australia's fattest shooter. Out they come.
Rampaging Roy Slaven with H.G. Nilsson riding shotgun. Limber up and get on board the Mardi Gras of medals.
And if you do have a question for the panel here at the Murray Rose Pool behind the card table, then email roynhg@triplem.com.au or Twitter. Hashtag Mardi Gras medals, all one word.
Now, Roy, is that up and running now?
Yes, it's up and running in the same way as the census is up and running. Oh, in Australia, I understand there's been some
problems getting through on that email.
Now, Australia in the medal tally, Roy, I might have miscorrected. Yeah. We've now got 5 gold, 1 silver and 5 bronze, taking us to 11.
Yes.
And that means we're 4th on the medal table. Can I point out the United States with 10 gold and China with 10 gold still haven't beaten Phelps, who's up to 21 gold.
Wow.
Now, having said that, the thing that we missed yesterday in the Phelps swim, the final Phelps swim in any Olympic Games at the, in the butterfly relay, was the great rivalry between Leclos and Phelps.
The South African,
Yes. Now, what happened last time around in London was Leclos beat him.
He did.
Which I'd completely forgotten and overlooked. Mm. And that's what brought him out of retirement, because he wanted to beat Leclos.
Well, he didn't want to go out a loser. He remembered as a loser.
Yeah, well, you are. That's the cruel thing about it.
So he would have been what? He would have had 18 medals and still a loser.
Still a loser.
Yeah.
And he would have every night when he went to bed and put his head on the pillow, he would think,
loser.
I know, exactly. Leclos.
Yeah.
And then he'd wake up in the middle of the night clutching at air, trying to strangle him, all these sort of things.
Yeah.
The only way to put all that to bed, as you well know, is to beat him.
Of course.
Now, can the rivalry kick on, or do you think it's now time to, and I don't like using this term, bury the hatchet?
No. It's up to Leclos, isn't it? Because Leclos is going to go home now and have those dreams that you were talking about. He's going to think, people are going to think me a loser. Well, he's wrong. People aren't going to think of him at all. That's the truth of the matter, isn't it? So you've got to say, but this is the competitive edge that that someone like Phelps brings, isn't it? It's madness.
Have you ever had a feud that lasted beyond any sporting competition?
Yeah. I've got a feud still going, HG.
Have you?
Yes. Still going with John Alexander.
Are you using that for media purposes?
I won't use that. I won't cheapen it in that way. I've never seen eye to eye with the bloke. I never liked the way he played. And whenever I get a chance to have a game with him, I try and beat him. I'd have to say in the last 15 years or so, I've beaten him every time. Sure, there were years ago he used to beat me every time, but not anymore. And I remind him of that all the time.
And you blame him for the failure of Australian tennis
at
the Olympics.
I do.
In Rio. And you've said so. Your blog last night was...
Yes.
You didn't hold back at all.
Yes,
about how much you hated John Alexander and his,
Well, he's presumably the Minister for Tennis in the
Turnbull
government.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he done for tennis?
I know.
Nothing. Have we had any new courts built? No.
Our fees going up?
Are we making our own balls yet? No. We're importing Chinese balls. I blame Newcomb and I blame Alexander, and in particular.
Can you see it kicking on? You know, like obviously you're both getting on fairly aged now. You're going to take this to the grave, do you reckon?
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, I'll never forget. The thing about a feud is never money.
And have we got feuds going elsewhere? I know, and I don't want to get caught up in the big stink again.
Everywhere.
And the big stink is the
Dream Team and Boomers.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice.
That's a new feud. Yeah. That's been going on for a few years now. But now the Americans are starting to take it serious. You know, calling us cheats, a bit rough, that sort of stuff now, because we're starting to beat them. And we are going to beat them. We're going to beat them.
Goal to Australia.
Yes.
But other things like, you know, these stinks that are going by, you know, let's start off where we take it right back to the beginning. You know, Mackie Horton and Yang.
Yeah.
You know, Cheat. Started off as what I thought was a red boat sledge, inspired by Johnny Bertrand. Mm. Now it's everybody's bagging each other.
I know.
There's something refreshing about it, isn't it? The tide has been unleashed, you know. Yep. Do you know what I mean?
It's as if the plug in the back door of feuds has been released, releasing a gastric of feuds.
Roy and HG, thanks to Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.
And Roy, just as he retired yesterday, he's back today, of course, because we've got the 200 IM semi-finals for blokes. And
Philpo's there, isn't
he? Yeah, Philpo's there with Ryan Lochte in 4 and 5. So we'll keep an eye on that in the background. I think Phelps might be on the breaststroke. And if I can read those bumps right, or those rather odd cupping marks, I think Phelps is winning this.
I think Phelps is in front,
Now,
no surprises there.
So he
Terrific. You know, he's a big fan of the Boomers.
Is he?
He is.
He likes the way they play?
He does. I bumped into him this morning and he asked me if I'd spent a bit of time with the Boomers, if I'd seen them this morning. I said, yes, I had. And I was very proud of the way they performed. He said to me, I thought they were awesome.
He said, what are his thoughts? That's what Phelps thinks of the Boomers.
He said they were awesome. So I pass that on now. I haven't actually spoken to the Boomers yet, having seen
Michael
Phelpsy, but I pass that on to them now.
Now, the freestyle leg is underway, and it looks to me as though Phelps is and Ryan Lochte have got this really to raffle between them, and that's exactly the way it turned out. Mm. So, and the Brazilian swimmer, oh, the crowd's gone berserk behind us. Mm.
They're very pro-Brazil here, aren't they?
Very pro-Brazil. It's funny, isn't it? Yeah. Apart from when they walked on, the teams walked on, when the crowd went absolutely mad for Australia.
Yeah, they did.
And, you know...
I think Australia got the biggest cheers
on the
opening ceremony.
I
do
too.
I think so,
easily
the
biggest cheers.
Yep.
Because that people saw how refreshing it is to see a team of athletes.
Yes, and no cheats amongst them.
Exactly.
You know, they might be a bit toody in the basketball department, but they love that.
Yeah. And Brazil, you know, if the Brazilian swimmer could take this 200 IM, it'd be a Cathy Freeman moment.
It would be for Brazil.
The pool here at the Murray Rose Pool.
Yeah, certainly would. And there wouldn't be an Aussie who would begrudge them that win.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Now...
Because Aussies are fair. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a fair people.
And I know you've been roaming around a lot here in Rio, and the original comments where people were friendly and, you know, they told you where to go in the nicest possible way
they
and
did.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, is that still stuck?
That's
is
still that... there. Once they know you're Australian, it's a real hand across the water, reach out and touch, you know, support each other. Brazil, Australia, can we get closer together? And I say, yeah.
You know, if the swimmer here who's finished third in this, you know, what would I call it, the 200 IM, as we can see in picture now, if you've got that monitor that we've got.
Oh, yeah.
Look, could he be supported by the Australians next time out?
Yes.
The Australian swimming team?
Yeah. I'm sure Kitty Chiller will send a message on behalf of the Australian Olympic team to the Brazilian Olympic team saying, good luck. Go, bro.
Now, speaking of Kitty Chiller, Australia's Olympic squad has been warned not to dwell on the international doping furore that has dogged the games, it does not affect their performances. Now,
are they dwelling on it?
Well, Thiago Pereira is the Brazilian who's the honorary Australian in this event now.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on Thiago.
Yep.
Now.
Yep. Well, he might like to come to Australia and swim for us in time, maybe.
Now, Australian Olympic boss Kitty Chiller, the chef de mission, conceded the drug debate, and she said could distract athletes, but she believed the team was focused. From our point of view, I don't want this to end up a distraction, especially in the pool. Now, what the difficulty is it doesn't seem to be controlled just between Mac Horton and that Yang guy.
Yeah, Sun Yang.
The Chinese Sun Yang, the Chinese
the cheat,
swimmer.
The cheat,
yeah, well, just seems to go everywhere. Mm. Now, swimmers are accused of pissing purple. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that word on you know, this network, which doesn't like that sort of language.
What, urinating purple, are they?
Urinating purple,
Who's urinating purple?
Well, let me go to my files here in front of me.
Yeah.
It is disturbing that somebody has been spotted urinating purple.
Well, the last time I heard of, and we've referred to it before, actually, the last time I heard of someone urinating purple, you'd have to go back to George the First, who had porphyritis. It's a key indicator of madness.
Now, have we got a charity where people could go to if they wanted to find out more about porphyritis?
Yes. Go to porphyritis.com or just Google porphyritis or Google the madness of King George.
And could you make a donation there?
Yes,
help
you could.
Out research.
Yes,
because I think it's very underfunded.
No, yeah, and I think the jury's out as to whether porphyritis assists you in swimming or not. I don't know. Certainly makes you mad.
Now, according
irrational. It makes you irrational, HG.
True. Now, according to team spokesperson Ian Hansen, I said the team has been advised not to dwell on things. We treat every day like it's day one.
That can never work.
I know.
Well, they actually come in and say, listen, everyone, today's day one. You might think, what were we doing yesterday?
I know. And who's Mac Horton? What did he say about Yang? Anyway, that's been the approach to distraction this time. Hansen added the team had also a psychologist who checked in on the athletes multiple times a day.
Oh, you'd love that, wouldn't you? Here he is, psychologist. Hello.
Swinging the watch.
Come on,
lie down.
Yeah, just pretend.
Tell me about it.
Pretend you're a wall. Yeah, I'm a wall. How do you feel? Cold. Okay. All right, in 3 seconds' time, I'm going to snap my fingers and you're going to poo your pants. One, two, three. Plop.
This is the Rio Rumba. A sultry swivelling of the hips on the Mardi Gras of medals. With HG Nelson and rampaging Royce Lavin.
Yes, I should have been able to get this earlier, but Camille Lacourte, the French swimmer, has taken a swipe at a Chinese swimmer, Sun Yang. She says he pisses purple. Can I ask, how does she know?
Good point.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Did anyone follow it up? Any of the journos?
What I worry about here is there's a bit of a, you know, old-fashioned piss-off happening at the village.
It's getting a bit nasty, isn't it?
It is. It's getting... Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Well, I hope there are not riots or anything like that in the village.
Well, one thing I've noticed that the Brazilian laws have been changed while the games have been on, so people can protest inside venues, and this is going to start to really get silly.
Is that right?
And I think that might be a very broad interpretation of the change of the law.
Okay.
But what worries me is how will Coates and Kitty Chiller and Chef de Bichon and, you know, even further up, you know, Lord Gosper contain this? Because they're seen as old fuds, if I can use that word.
Yeah.
They're not with it.
Yeah.
They're seen as squares, you know, because let's face it, you know, people on the coalface, and we're just seeing the presentation for the earlier race where we got silver. These are the people who know.
Yeah.
The people who are bagging the medals.
Yeah, that's true.
There's going to be...
Well, there were some demonstrations, I think, at Copacabana Beach the other night, and it got a bit willing.
It did, but that would seem to be more... That wasn't about drugs, I don't
know. No, that was political, I think.
Yeah,
political.
So why were we spending
There's some
money?
Disappointment with the president and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that surprised me. Yeah. Now, look...
corruption, I think, is an issue.
Is that
I can't.
Corruption?
I find it hard to believe. There's no
This has been the cheapest games ever.
I know.
I mean, look at the opening ceremony.
I haven't
happened.
Had to receive a receipt for anything. You know, it's just a little bit of cash here. It's fine.
Now, according to the IOC boss of communications, they're hoping to carry out, wait for it, 5,500 anti-doping tests carried out on the 5,500 athletes. In these games, 4,500 urine samples and 1,000 of blood. This means, can I do the maths here, that 5,000 athletes aren't going to be tested at all?
That's right. 5,000 cheats are going to get away with it. Is that what you're suggesting? That's what it sounds like to me.
5,000 cheats robbing Aussie kids of gold.
That's right. Why shouldn't everyone be tested every day?
Every hour.
I mean, rather than just have a psychologist come in and get in your face, why don't have someone come in with a syringe?
Now, listen.
Say, bend over.
I know, we went through all that yesterday. It was a frightening image you drew of your own, drug test. What I'm worried about more is if you've got a psychologist knocking on the door several times a day, asking about your walls and your stoolage, I mean, how far behind where we are, that's the Australian team, is is the IOC and the drugs.
Yeah, I know.
Several times a day.
Yeah.
Under control.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to be serious about drugs, I think you have to test, because some of these peptides they're using these days, actually, only last, they're only in your system for sometimes up to 35 seconds.
Now,
I mean, you've got to test them while they're in there.
I know.
Well, they get away with it.
You've got to be on a drip, some sort of drip that puts out what you're got in you and putting in you every minute of the day unless you're completing or in jail.
Or in jail.
Now, the other thing is, he says, this is the same bloke, Mark Adams, I think we have a pretty good system. We have also a very much a very good pre-testing system. We got together a task force between the International Federation, the National Olympic Committees, WADA, and ourselves to target...
It's too cumbersome, isn't it?
It's too cumbersome.
You need a sort of drug squad, a sort of hit squad, you know, like any time.
Any moment. 35 seconds.
In they come.
Yeah.
You know, the needle guys.
Yeah.
Here they are.
Yeah. Now,
no warning.
They target.
You know, you could be just sitting down having your breakfast and you've just gone to have your first dump of the day. Kaboom! Through they come.
More!
Right, come on, bend over.
Pop it out!
While you're at it.
Give us one for us. Now, they thought they were going to target people.
And all stools should be trapped.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Trapped!
Yeah, I know. And all urine.
So if you, you know, you do send one away that's questionable,
it'll come back.
Don't you?
Yeah, now. They thought they'd test people at risk and, sports that are known to be at it, and people from at-risk countries and people at risk.
Oh, yeah.
And they've targeted 700 off the top of my head before the games check that they're clean. Now, that's a hell of a thing to remember. 700 names of athletes who are at it off the top of his head. There's 10,000 athletes here. That's 1 in 10 are hot.
Yeah.
It's a weird
That's why we need a hit squad. You know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Iceberg. God, what happened to Bjorn Borg? Was he at it?
The romance of Rio continues with the Carnival of the Rings on the Mardi Gras of medals. Roy and HG.
And Roy, the 200 metres, 4x200 metres relay freestyle for women is just about to get underway in the Murray Rose pool. The teams are just coming onto the pool deck now, right in front of the commentary position here. Roy, just going quickly through them, Japan in lane one, Hungary in lane two, China three, United States four, Australia five, keep your eye on lane five, Russia sixth. Canada 7, Sweden 8. So it's a very hot field.
It is. We've got pole position, really, haven't we? We've got lane 5. That's your champion lane.
And we've got McKeon, Barrett,
McKeon,
Cook.
Yep.
And we're not sure the fourth Australian swimmer.
Right.
They can name these teams very late.
Yeah.
But it's going to be an exciting race. And obviously, the fastest qualifier was the United States, and the second fastest was Australia. So there's a chance of medals coming up in this two.
Oh, we'll definitely medal. It just depends on what colour. You know, I just hope we don't pull a dung.
Yeah, that's true. I'd forgotten that.
Mm.
We'll definitely medal.
Yeah.
But it would be sad to be walking away from the Murray today with a dung in the last event.
Yeah.
Well, that sort of takes.
But at least you can say, you know, years to come, you'll be able to say, well,
grandparents.
At least I got a dung.
And a lot of swimmers went there and didn't even get dung. Now, except. Now, Roy, we're back tomorrow.
Yes.
Obviously, the first Friday of the Games. It's going to be a very exciting.
I always love the first Friday of the Games. It's a very special day.
Very special day. We hope to get an interview with Bruce McAvaney and just see how he's getting on with this.
Yes, apparently Bruce has been talking to Hamish McLaughlin each night, I think, back home.
Yeah,
obviously, we're missing it here.
We just don't get a sense. Yeah. Somebody could send that through.
I wonder where Bruce was disappearing for that 15 minutes every day. You know, we thought, Bruce is a man of mystery. What's he doing? Because he's off talking to Hamish.
I know, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Mardi Gras medals continues right here tomorrow. Join us at midday.
Roy and HG, thanks to Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.